I'd like to share some of the Word of God with you tonight. Psalms 111 and verse 9. He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. Do you ever get weary of hearing people from the world using the name of God in a way that is very casual? As an exclamation of surprise? Does that trouble you? Or when someone of the world is very angry and out is spewing from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, out is spewing all this vulgarity and ugly talk, and out comes the name of Him who is holy and reverend. I find that offensive. And I really don't remember hearing anybody, while they're talking in this way, using the name of Muhammad or using the name of Buddha or of any of the Greek deities. Well, I guess they used to do that, but there is something about this name that is holy and reverend that the spirit of the enemy comes against. I want to ask you tonight, how much reverence do you have for God? Let's turn to Psalms 105. Psalms 105 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, His servant, ye children of Jacob, His chosen, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. I want to tell you tonight, He is the Lord. This is my favorite Christmas song. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. There's something about that that grips me. There is something about God that is divine, that is holy, that ought to evoke a feeling of reverence from our hearts. Fall on your knees because of the Lord, our Savior. Oh, hear the voice, the angel voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born. How do you feel toward the Lord tonight? Do you have a real reverence toward God in your heart? Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, and saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. I think our nation would be so much better off if we would hear from Washington, D.C., that they have set themselves to seek the Lord. If we would hear from the rulers of the land that they were proclaiming a fast throughout the United States, how much respect do we have for God tonight? And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house. How much respect do we have for the name of God tonight? If these evil things come our way, and we stand before this house and in thy presence, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. There's a real benefit to having respect for God. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. Ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. Do you see any respect here? This is the king. He bowed his head with his face to the ground. Now, in our worship service, would it be all right for us to do this? For us to go ahead and bow our faces to the ground. How much respect do we have for God? I'm not asking you to do that. But I think we ought to have that kind of respect in our hearts for God. He bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord. You know what falling before someone in a place of authority meant? It's a sign of subjection to that authority. Worshipping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of the Gahathites, of the children, stood up before to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. A great respect for God. How much reverence do you have for the Word of God? 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Second Timothy 3 and 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How much respect do you have for the Word of God? When we read the Word of God, do we just read it in a monotone, in a casual way? Or can we put some reverence in the reading of God's Word? Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. That was the Word of God. And those who heard Jesus speak said, "Never a man. Never a man spake like this man." There was something about the giving of the Word of God that evoked respect out of people. In Honduras, I've been in services, and I noticed a custom that they would have someone read some scriptures before the message was given. And a different person would go up and read some scriptures. And I noticed that while this person was reading out of the Word of God, some folks in the congregation would stand, a sign of respect. I liked that. Well, in our congregation, one of our brothers' prayer meeting nights sometimes won't have a whole lot to say, but sometimes we'll share some of the Word of God, maybe just a scripture or two, and read it with such reverence and feelings that one time I just felt like standing up. That's the Word of God that he is reading. There is something deep to it. There is something valuable about it. How do we feel about the Word of God tonight? Do we just cherish it? Do we honor it? Do we recognize this is what God has to say to us? Psalms chapter 33. Psalms 33, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely to the upright. Praise the Lord with a harp, sing unto him with a psaltery and with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his hearts to all generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Let all the earth fear the Lord. How much reverence do you have for the house of the Lord? There's a man that had a high position at work. And I remember seeing him in the lawyer's office. He was sitting there in front of the lawyer's desk with his feet up on her desk. That man had some self-confidence. Cavalier. Cavalier is showing a lack of proper concern. Offhand. Indifferent. Casual. Unconcerned. I want to ask, what kind of attitude do we have toward the house of God? I hope it's not cavalier. Offhand. Just indifferent. Lord, help us that we will have respect for the house of God. Now, the Muslims take off their shoes before entering the mosque. I can't tour a mosque. I won't do it. I can't show that kind of respect to Islam. But I believe we ought to be able to show a great respect to a place of the worship of the true God. A respect in how we conduct our services, the type of attitude that we have of worship, of reverence, of fear of God. During our worship services, it is not a place for casual visiting. I am so glad that we are a family and that we have close connections, that we care about each other. And I think it's wonderful that we visit with each other. But if we just have casual conversation, casual visiting, wouldn't it be better to postpone that until the worship service is over? In our prayer meetings, well, sometimes small congregations, we have a real home-like environment and all that. But let's still be careful. If we have a testimony that our testimony is not simply relating interesting things that happened to us that week. It's great to share those things with the people you love the most after service is over. But during the church service, let us be careful and consider, does my testimony actually have spiritual content? And if the content is not spiritual, it is more interesting talk. There is a good time for that, and that is after the service is over. It's a part of having respect for the worship of the Lord, isn't it? The house of the Lord is not a place to make political speeches. Now, it is a good place to cry out against the evil of the day, even the evil of civil leaders. It is fine to do what God tells us to do. But to use it as a platform for rallying political causes, let us be very careful that we respect the house of God. The house of God is not the place to be playing games on cell phones. How much respect do we have for God? Do we realize that we are in the presence of the King of the universe when we are in a worship service? I know that things have changed in our society, and during the course of time that I've been in the business world, dress standard has changed a lot, and I'm talking about formality. When I first went out into the work world, there was pressure to put on a necktie to go to work. Then things began to relax over the years, and then they started what they call Casual Friday. Fridays, people would come in their jeans. And today, it's so casual, people will come in their torn jeans and looking, I'm going to call it unprofessional. I know that our society's view of what's formal and what's informal has changed over time. But I think we need to have a carefulness about how we dress to come to the church service, don't you? And please, I know this is a difficult subject. Please don't get me wrong. I didn't look around here tonight to see who was dressed how and who was wearing what shoes or whatever. But I have seen in the past people wearing flip-flops to meeting. I think we need a great carefulness in how we come into the house of God to show I respect, I care, I recognize this is something sacred and something serious. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. I'd like to give Clark's commentary. Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? They should have taken their ordinary meal at home and should have come together in the church to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Despise ye the church of God, ye render the sacred assembly and the place contemptible by your conduct. Ye show yourselves destitute of that respect which ye owe to the place set apart for divine worship. And shame them that have not, them that are poor, them who had not victuals at that time, and those who are so poor as to be incapable of furnishing themselves as others had done. Paul cared about how worship was conducted. And he saw something that brought a disgrace and brought a shame. He saw a disrespect for the house of God and for the worship of God. The partaking of the ordinance to me is one of the most sacred services there is. In the intermission between Sunday school and the main morning service, do you think it would be appropriate for me to begin talking about my latest hunting trip? Or how business was going? Or any other thing of this temporal world? Now, I realize we're human, something pops into our mind, we may say something, but when the Lord is anointing, and when His blessing is filling our presence, I almost feel like, how can I even discuss something like that? To step out from the presence of the Lord and begin talking about the, how do you even compare? The worthless things of this life, it begins to make you wonder, where was my mind during the service? How much respect do we have for the place, the house of God? Let's turn to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, verse 1. Thus hath the Lord God shewed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in the day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place, and they shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit? When will the holy day be over so we can get back to business of selling corn? When will the Sabbath be over so that we can plant our wheat? When will this church service finally be over so I can get back to the things I'm really interested in? Lord, help us to have an awe and a reverence for God, to love His service, to love the presence of the Lord coming down to meet with us. How much reverence do you have tonight? Do you have a reverence for the sacred offices in the church? Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 21. Leviticus 21. And verse 1, the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. Verse 6, speaking of the priests, they shall be holy unto their God, and shall not profane the name of their God, for the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and the bread of their God they do offer. Therefore they shall be holy. Verse 17. Speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer bread, the bread of his God. I'd like to share a Bible commentary on that scripture as well. The man who ministers in holy things, who professes to be the interpreter of the will of God, should have nothing in his person nor in his manner which cannot contribute to render him respectable in the eyes of those to whom he ministers. If, on the contrary, he has any personal defect, anything that may render him contemptible or despicable, his usefulness will be greatly injured, if not entirely prevented. However, if a man have received any damage in the work of God by persecution or otherwise, his scars are honorable and will add to his respectability. But if he be received into the ministry with any of the blemishes specified here, he will never and never can have that respect which is essential to his usefulness. Let no man say that this is a part of the Mosaic law and we're not bound by it. It's an eternal law founded on reason, propriety, common sense, and an absolute necessity. The priest, the prophet, the Christian minister is the representative of Jesus Christ. Let nothing in his person, carriage, or doctrine be unworthy of the personage he represents. A deformed person, though consummate in diplomatic wisdom, would never be employed as an ambassador by any enlightened court if any fit person, unblemished, could possibly be procured. Now, I don't think that physical defects are disqualifiers for offices in the church. I think this is symbolic. It was a shadow of the spiritual purity of those that are in positions that are held sacred. If there is sin in your life, don't get up in the pulpit. Don't get up to preach. Don't get up to sing. Don't become a song leader in the congregation. Don't take on a Sunday school class. How much respect do we have for those that are sacred, for the places in Christ's body that are sacred? Let's read in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 11. Isaiah 52 and 11. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Let me tell you, I have way too much respect for this place, for you as a body, for the house of God to ever get behind a pulpit knowing there was sin in my life. I won't do it. I won't raise my hand to song. I won't get up and testify to being saved if I know that I'm not. The only way something like that would happen is if I happen to be deceived. I fear God too much, and I respect those things which are sacred. When we sing, and by the way, this morning, wasn't that beautiful? All those young people up here, I sure appreciated that. I tell you, it just lifts your hope and your spirit to see something like that. Song is a ministry, and it's not a talent show. It's not an exhibition of how beautifully we can sing. It is to be led by and anointed of the Holy Spirit. Today, in so many churches claiming to be Christian churches, instead of spiritual worship, we have fleshly worship. They have implemented forms of worship that are taken straight out of the world. One example is dance in the worship service. And there are schools of dance that will teach you how to dance in a worship service. Here is one. Our school of dance includes worship dance and movement classes, which include forms of dance such as ballet, modern, and dramatic interpretation. If you desire to praise the Lord with dancing, let the praise come from a pure heart of thankfulness and true relationship with God. Then, if there are dance classes available outside of the church, then register to take a dance class. This builds your foundation for which you will be able to build praise dance movements. You can find dance studios that offer ballet or lyrical classes for all ages, or you can sign up for an introduction into a dance course at a community college. Next, be free to improvise. All areas of creativity have ways to improvise to promote expression. Dancers are no different. Move in the way that the music moves you. Well, they do have dance music in these places of so-called worship. It's an abomination. I want to tell you about Clement of Alexandria, a saint, a church father figure from many years ago. He was born around 150 AD, and he was a convert to Christianity. He was an educated man, and he was familiar with the classical Greek philosophy and literature. He had a burden for the Greeks, and he wrote his Exhortation to the Greeks. In this writing, he tried to show them the reasonableness of the Christian faith. Now, you know the Greeks were philosophers. They had to be persuaded through wisdom, and this man was an educated man. He knew their thinking. He knew their philosophies, and he tried to persuade them that Christianity is reasonable. Oh, away then, away with our forgetfulness of the truth, he exhorted. Let us remove the ignorance and darkness that spreads like a mist over our sight and let us get a vision of the true God. Clement criticized Greek paganism on the basis that its deities were both false and poor moral examples. Well, I think that part of our thinking should be based on those that have gone before us. Dance and worship service in the so-called Christian world is a modern invention. But dance and worship is actually ancient. But to have introduced it into Christianity is a modern thing. But let's consider this man, a father figure in the church of long ago, what he thought about dancing. Clement spoke of worshipers, stating that in laying aside the artificial mask of solemnity, they are proved to be what they secretly were. After having paid reverence to the discourse about God, they will leave within the church what they have heard, and outside they foolishly amuse themselves with impious playing, occupied with flute playing and dancing, and intoxication and all kinds of trash. They who would thus sing, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." A night spent over drink invites drunkenness, rouses lust, is audacious in deeds of shame. For if people occupy their time with pipes and psalteries and choirs and dances, and Egyptian clapping of hands, and such disorderly frivolities, they become quite immodest and intractable, which means hard to control. Beat on cymbals and drums, and make noise on instruments of delusion. For plainly such a banquet, as seems to me, is a theater of drunkenness. I don't think that Clement of Alexandria would have been impressed with contemporary worship. Do you? I believe we need to have more respect for God than that. I believe that we ought to have holy worship, that we ought to have respect for God's word, for His house, for the positions within the body. Let's read in Psalms 96 and verse 9. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to come into the presence of the Lord? The Lord promised, where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Isn't it a privilege to be in the presence of God? May the Lord help us that we will treat that as a great privilege and with the respect that it is due. Amen.